He kind of started all the plants growing, and he started people. Well, I guess he's kind of big and fat.
He can see us whatever we do. Whatever we do, he has such powerful eyes. He doesn't have millions and thousands and billions. And he can still see us when we're bad.
He could be sitting on the table right now, but you can't see him.
He can't be everywhere at once doing everything for everybody. Everybody can't get what they want.
Welcome to Operation Restore Christian America, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Stovenel. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. The overall name of this effort is Operation Restore Christian America. Once again, Operation Restore Christian America. There is a donate button on my website for any of those of you that care about the restoration process that is underway to restore Christianity to America. Hardly a day can go by without you or me or anyone else going into the public anywhere now without slanderous, blasphemous, foul, and filthy language being used not only in personal conversations, but shockingly, a lot of the people that present themselves as Christians in public, on air, in major broadcasts using foul and filthy language, the most disgusting language that can be used. Megyn Kelly, for example, uses the F word, in case you haven't listened to any of her broadcasts. That is falling very, very far. I was interested in watching the interview that Donald Trump gave to her. Her bones are starting to stick out of her knees. I hope that she is not anorexic. She is getting older. She isn't as young as she used to be, but we should pray for her health and well-being and mental stability, and we should all pray that she repents from the use of that kind of language. Obviously, she's learning it from men that have fallen from grace and are becoming more disgusting and wicked, more selfish. Anyway, today we're going through chapter 10 and 11 in the Gospel of John, and then we're going to talk about a very interesting controversy that developed early on in Christianity, called the Arian heresy. Chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come in where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Taken from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to thy feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that, if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. That's the end of chapter 11. And that's the end of the reading of chapter 10 and 11 in the Gospel of John in the KJV, the Authorized Version for the English language, not an authorized per version, but the authorized version. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. The entire reading of the Gospel of John has recently been posted in the recent post on my website, and I encourage each and every one of you, while you're traveling or in your leisure time, to listen through the entire Gospel of John being read, because it is so significant in terms of the contrast between those Jews that saw the miracles that Jesus did and believed that he was and is the Son of God, and those Jews that rejected that and sought to kill him. The calling number for this broadcast is 608-433-9306. Your point of view is welcome, no matter what it might be. Obviously, when a miracle occurs that defies nature, that is larger than and supersedes nature, this is confusing to people that have not been born again, that view nature as the highest reality. Scientific nature, as soon as something can be concluded by a mere mortal, a scientist, then that is settled science according to the unbelievers. It's a huge controversy. There was also a huge controversy early on in the life of the Christian church. Now, of course, for over 500 years, the naturalists combined with the Christians at the time of the English and Irish Reformation degraded Christianity. There's no question about that. In their own writings, the King of England, first the Queen of England and King of England, denounced what is supernatural. They called it superstition, in order to levy their first attack, philosophical attack, on Christianity, on genuine Christianity, and the organization that had brought people that were ignorant of Christ out of the darkness with their teachings, and that was called the Catholics, or the Catholic organization, the Catholic Church, And the Catholics, of course, call it the church, as if they're the only people that have ever learned anything during their lifetimes, which is preposterous. Nevertheless, we're going to a little bit of a dive into one of the early councils, the Council of Nicaea. And this council of the Christian leaders at that time, the Catholic leaders, not the Roman Catholic leaders, this is as the church was developing. And of course, Rome was the power center for paganism and secular humanism, and blended in with that, they blended in Christianity. Constantine blended in Christianity to enhance his power, to have a singular state religion, even though they had already several different gods and goddesses. There's no question about that either. But anyway, the Council of Nicaea was from May to August 325 Anno Domini, or AD, or since the birth of Jesus Christ. And at this council, one of the key questions that was resolved was the what is called the Arian heresy. Now, here is what Arius, who is the man that propounded this heresy, this was his position, essentially. And this is a quote from a passage in a letter from Arius to Eusebius. "We are not able to listen to these kinds of impieties, even if the heretics threaten us with 10,000 deaths. But what do we say and think, and what have we previously taught, and do we presently teach? That the Son is not unbegotten, nor a part of an unbegotten entity in any way, nor from anything in existence, but that he is subsisting in will and intention before time and before the ages, full God, the only begotten, unchangeable. Before he was begotten or created or defined or established, he did not exist. For he was not unbegotten, but we are persecuted because we have said the Son has a beginning, but God has no beginning. We are persecuted because of that, and for saying he came from non-being. But we said this since he is not a portion of God nor of anything in existence. That is why we are persecuted. You know the rest." So we see here that the Arian controversy is about the leader propounding that he's a victim. In other words, he tried to claim victimhood status and place it on all others that disagreed with him, that they were guilty of heresy while he was the heretic. This is an ingenious tactic that has grown into a monstrosity in our time, especially in, and I don't even like to use the word, but politics. The politics, and additionally in Freudian psychology, everything about the Freud fraud places some kind of a lack of intellect on someone else, a lack of will, a lack of determination in their life, some lack because apparently they are the experts on everything, and therefore stigmatizing their victims is in line with the Arian heresy. Sigmund Shlomo Freud was not an ignorant man. He would have undoubtedly studied what I just read to you about the Arian heresy in order to employ his fraud over all the world. In order to do what? In order to demonize those people that are the most righteous under his power and will for what? For the love of money. For the love of money. And that's been proven repeatedly in conversations that Freud had with different people that were both interested in becoming like him to where they could judge others and their mental capacities. And in the exchanges that he had with them, for example, Horace Frink, who was a married man that went there and consulted Freud and was curious about Freudism. And he indicated that he had met a woman that was not his wife that he was interested in. And Freud gave him this personal advice while he was consulting this fraud named Freud. And Freud gave him the advice because this other woman was extremely wealthy, divorce your wife and marry the rich woman. Freud was a fraud. So anyway, back to the Arian heresy. Now, this would be when there were essentially eight primary key doctors of the Christian church. Now, the people that want you to be misinformed and disinformed and deceived would call this a schism. This was not a schism. This was a council to resolve key questions, key issues within the Christian leadership within the church structure, the church organization, the church people, the churches, the church. So Arian's argument obviously is strong because we live in a world where everyone is born selfish. Everyone is born screaming and demanding without even being able to speak a word. When they're hungry, they cry. The baby cries for food, to be provided with something. Now, that isn't an intellectual selfishness at that point in life. That's a natural selfishness, but it is a need that needs to be filled, and therefore it's about the self. And so at the time of the Arian heresy, it was very turbulent times. And so there were wars and rumors of wars. So it is plausible that the Arians that were followers of this man, Arius, were in battles, in wars, and were punished for crimes. You see, this is what prevents wars, is when gangsters are punished for their criminal activity. And we would do well to learn this right now here in the United States, because there's an effort right now, a very rapidly increasing effort by gangsters that pretend to be honest politicians to crush all of our constitutional system, I didn't say all of our freedom or all of our liberties or all of our anything. I said our constitutional governing system. That's legitimate government, is our constitutional governing system. Now, there are critics of that, and there are those that have become so frustrated with their lives that all they do is constantly denounce the Constitution and the constitutional system without studying it carefully or studying the writings of those that developed it, that were there at the Constitutional Convention. And for those people that are so miserable living here in one of the 50 United States of America, that are so miserable with their own lives because of how terrible it is here, there is no wall that keeps our people in. And they're free to leave. Anyone that hates Americans and hates America is free to leave. They have no grounding. They have no right. They have a responsibility to refrain from endlessly complaining about everything that is wrong all the time. It gets old after a while. And the louder the loudmouths are at it, the worse it gets, the older it gets. If they can't think of anything that's good and decent and right about our constitutional system, then they should tone down their rhetoric and their voice a little bit. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. I invite your calls to join in this conversation about the Arian heresy, about chapter 10 and chapter 11 in the Gospel of John that I've went through, or whatever is on your heart, whether it be levity and goodness and greatness and brightness and light, or whether it be heavy. My name is David Stovenel. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. If you're posed with this question, how do you answer it? What are you for? And I'm not talking about a three-volume set of books. I'm talking about the elevator exchange, the two or three or five sentences in order to answer that question. What are you for? As a born-again Christian, I know exactly what I'm for. I'm for genuine Christianity. Now, being that there was a huge question about Arianism, and that was settled at the Council of Nicaea, and it was adhered to not by a schism, but by an expulsion of the heretics. There were a small number of proponents of the Arian heresy, Arius being one of them, one of his colleagues, Eusebius. They were expelled from their from their positions. They were kicked out of, in other words, they became non-clerics. They were removed from their positions within the structure of the Christian organization, the Christian churches, the Christian leadership, and the churches. Now, this is interesting in that the man that primarily settled the heresy was Emperor Constantine. He was the last word on it. Now, there are conflicting articles. Obviously, there are, because the devil always tries to get people arguing. and not agreeing on anything. That's how the wicked have gained so much power, through lies and manipulation and greed and selfishness and violence and terror and murder and all the nasty stuff, all the bad stuff. But Constantine at that time was the emperor, and there is one rather reliable source called Book of the Martyrs by Fox, where it indicates in there that Constantine, when Arius became belligerent at the council and started what we would call using extreme rhetoric, this was no doubt a very contentious time, but Constantine got up and slapped his face. That's one account that I've read. Whether it's true or not, I wasn't there, you weren't there. But another account that I've read is one of Constantine's subordinates essentially handled the communications. So you see, there's always controversy, and so it's an endless effort to arrive at the truth, and the pursuit of truth is a joyful thing. It isn't something that leads to a depressed mindset or a negative mindset. And so all of the negativity that you hear in the reporting and in the news and everything, that means the CIA strategy of tensions effort is very successful. If you can't say, a mother taught me when I was all through my youth, if I cannot say anything good about someone, don't say anything. Now, when I read this quote in this letter that Arian sent to Eusebius, incidentally, that wasn't a demonization of Arius, and it wasn't a slander. It was his words, black letters on white paper. That's what it was. And it is what it is. It describes exactly what his position was. It was him starting out saying, we're all just innocent Arians. We're all just, you people are following me. I'm Arius, and I know, I know that Jesus was not the only begotten Son of God. He was begotten, created, defined, established, he did not exist, etc. This was a huge controversy that was settled there. Well, today, Arians have re-hitched their wagon to genuine Christianity and genuine Christians. The genuine Christian needs no one as a savior except Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Arians would do well to realize that, to understand that, to study this issue thoroughly, because the genuine Christian reads the scriptures and reads the Bible. And in the Bible, for example, in Luke, it says the job of the Christian soldier is to be content with your wages and harm no one. The Arian, on the other hand, is on the opposite side of that fence. The Arian is overly ambitious in their own pride. And pride comes before the fall. Speaking of pride, pride fests where these terribly decadent people have these public displays where they are nearly naked, disgusting, sinful, criminal, obscene displays of contempt for all that is good and right and just here in our Christian nation. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. My website is genuinechristianitynow.com. I invite you to go there and review articles that are posted daily, up-to-date articles that are of great significance for the time we are living in now. If we are to throw off the tyranny that the gangsters are attempting to impose on us, we must know who our enemy is and who our friends are. Because tyranny does not go away all by itself. Now I'm going to bring up a certain person that is of a problem worldwide. She's a very devious, very grasping, very selfish person. Her name is Jacinda Ardern. She was the Prime Minister of New Zealand during the time of two events. When the flu got renamed to coronavirus, and then the psychopaths in power, in positions of a power, took draconian actions against everyone and locked down their nations, and lockdown is a prison term. So in other words, Jacinda Ardern was a socialist that was a prison guard over New Zealand. But anyway, she was the prime minister at the time that transpired, since 2019, late 2019, and also the Christchurch mosque mass murders. Now, Brendan Tarrant wore a GoPro that filmed his actions. And Jacinda Ardern and her gangsters, her socialist gangsters, made a law, a nice quick law, that anyone that shared that GoPro film that was posted online in New Zealand or Australia, I think also, if I recall correctly, faced 10 years in prison if they viewed it or shared it with anyone else. Ladies and gentlemen, not just here in the USA, but worldwide that are listening, that is a fierce, ugly attack on free speech, because without investigating that GoPro filming of that event, where in that there were people, they're called handlers, when there's a false flag operation where people are actually murdered, which is what I am convinced of, that this was a dark government gangster operation. Now, John Podesta, a known Satanist, was in New Zealand just previous to, like in other words, the same week that the Christchurch massacre transpired. Almost no one is aware of this because of that censorship of that video. It's incumbent on each of you, if you want to throw off the anti-Christian bigotry, the tyranny, it's an ideal place to start to thoroughly investigate and demand a complete investigation, including the video that Brendan Tarrant posted on website in real time, because that is where free speech is being murdered. Free speech is being destroyed by this feminist, fascist, socialist gangster, globalist gangster named Jacinda Ardern. She's not the Prime Minister of New Zealand now. She has a chair, I think, at Harvard University, if I'm not mistaken. But that's beside the point. I'm talking about the recent past history here. Your attention to this is all important. This is the fulcrum on which the balance of power goes one way or the other, either into the hands of the murderous criminal gangsters or tipping it back toward we the people having free speech. Because without being able to investigate crimes, which is what this is, she shut down. What does she have to hide? What do the feminists have to hide? What do the socialists, what do the Labor Party people have to hide? They must have a lot to hide if they shut down a video in order for those of us that are independent investigative reporters from being able to access the material. I'm calling on each and every one of you, become an independent investigative reporter on this specific topic, the Christchurch massacre. It's easy to locate puff piece articles about it and puff piece articles about how glorious and how wonderful Jacinda Ardern handled that crime. It doesn't. There's hardly anyone that realizes her involvement. Who did she meet? Who did she meet with? Did she personally meet with the Satanist John Podesta before that terrible tragedy transpired? That's a big question. For those of you that are investigative reporters, independent investigative reporters, where you're not getting paid, you know, what did Tucker make, $50 million a year or something? If you're not getting paid big dollars to run off at your mouth, but you are independent and you investigate as you decide, not by some overlord like Rupert Murdoch or something like that, some big shot, some George Soros, something like that, bribing people. Bribing people. Oh, by the way, I didn't even mention Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and all that's going on there. There are good investigative reporters that are starting to arrive at the truth about some of the more nefarious characters that have been involved with government, not only for one or two terms in the Senate or something, but for 40 plus years and things like that. These murderous gangsters have to be investigated, have to be reported on. We have to organize ourselves in a way that we can arrest this criminal activity, first of all, by not participating in it. By learning what Jesus said, what did he teach us? This is one of the early church fathers. This is the earliest of the early church fathers, really, John the Baptist. Harm no man. Be content with your wages as a Christian soldier. Be content with your wages. Harm no one. It's the opposite of what the Aryans do. It's the opposite of what the political gangsters do. By political gangsters, I don't mean everyone that is in politics. I mean those that do not study and read and adhere to the Constitution as it is defined and refined by those that uphold and support the Constitution. The call-in number is 608-433-9306. Don't be afraid, people. Don't be afraid. Identify the people that are attempting to impose tyranny. Identify them and don't serve their interests in any way. Turn your back on them. Walk away from them. Even if you're making $50 million a year, walk away from them. They're the bad guys. And people like Jacinda Ardern, she's nasty. She's a socialist. And if you recount some of the major socialists, just during the last century, Jeremy Bentham, for example, King George VI, Vladimir Lenin, Adolf Hitler. Wow. Adolf Hitler. That guy that has had, rightly so, has had the most opprobrium heaped on him after he lost the war, after Germany lost the war. He was a socialist. So these are socialists fighting against socialists and trying to convince you to pick a side on which flavor of socialism do you like the most. Well, I'm encouraging you to dislike all forms of socialism. Incidentally, the philosophy and the thought process of socialism started with essentially with Plato. This was an ancient pagan philosopher. And you can find out the truth in my words and the merit in my words by reading The Laws by Plato and The Republic by Plato. And you'll see in there where he basically cooks up that there will be a philosopher king sometime in the future. And obviously he was dreaming of himself as being that philosopher king in the way he did it, that he wrote his volumes of work. And they're well worth reading as long as you do not get, as long as you don't fall into that death pit of socialism that has caused so much misery throughout the centuries. 2,500 years of socialism is essentially what we have had to endure. And Plato and Socrates both were in agreement about something that is absolutely disgusting called communism. And it's plain in their writing that they were for the communal sharing of all everyone's children and everyone's wives. In other words, they were wife swappers. These were pagans. These were the opposite of Christians. And so Arians can't bridge the gap between Christianity and paganism. And neither can Catholicism, neither can Protestantism, neither can Buddhism, neither can Judaism. None of them can bridge that gap. It's an either-or situation. Jesus said you must be born again. And it was very clear in John chapter 3 what he was talking about when he was asked the question, what do I need to be saved? Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Thank you for listening. GenuineChristianityNow.com is the website. Go to there, visit, awesome.